evening, everyone. Good evening. What a night this is. I'm kind of excited. This is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor, and you've been listening to this show for a long time, so you probably already knew that. Some of you who are new, welcome, welcome, welcome. And I would really like to say, be ready to call in. We've had a lot of good news today, all kinds of good news, not just today, but astrologically, there's stuff going on. If I can reach my paperwork here, there is stuff going on that is going to tell you that a lot of good things are going on. Plus, what's happening on the, like, how many of you watched Pope Francis's conversation today in the Congress? And Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. Oh my gosh, these people are standing up. I mean, you could say they're one kind of political force or another, or we could just say, oh, for heaven's sakes, they're just saying, we got to feed the hungry. We've got to share resources. We've got to look after working conditions. They're not saying right wing, left wing, mid wing, east wing, west wing. They're saying, let's look after each other, everybody. Let's look internationally. I have a little women's group, and at my women's group, we're talking about what can we do as real people to be of some assistance with all the refugee situations. And several of the people talked about we got to start within ourselves and find out which parts of us are needing to release competition or fear, all that sort of thing, so that we're peace in place. We're inside of ourselves in places of peace, in places of mercy, in places of sharing. And that's really true. And then my daughter Janie said in a very wise way, I see all kinds of homeless people around me here. Why don't we start here? And there's a lot of Mexicans trying to make it over the border here. And we had enough on our own plate right now that we could start here and now. So I'm fooling around with all these different comments that these bright women have made, and I'm trying to pull together, you know, a cohesive group. And I started talking to Bob, who had watched Colbert last night, and he told me, and here I am looking for, like, how can we be useful to refugees and immigrants? Well, I'm really looking for refugees and also homeless and the difficulties that are rampant around our country, and how can we be of some help, right? So I'm talking to Bob, who last night watched Colbert, and Colbert was talking about something which he has set up, which is not by himself, with a group of people in Central Park. They have a big concert. I forget who's playing in the concert. I did see it in the listing. You can find it on, I think it's called Global Citizens Concert or something, Central Park. Apparently it's for Sunday, and you can't have a ticket to this particular concert, which is a huge concert in the park, live concert, unless you bring evidence or unless you show that you have done something to help situations of homelessness, of refugees, of hunger, world hunger, and so on. And so far, they've got about 60,000 people signed up. I mean, my gosh. And I'm like, wow, that was a quantum leap answer to our little group of very dedicated women here. Well, they're not in LA because we're all by phone, so we're all over the place. But I thought it was more than a synchronicity that this little think, this is what we keep saying, think locally, act globally, or is it think globally, act locally? I think maybe that's the way it goes. But you know what I'm saying. So it did start. I'm looking for some smaller things that we can do. And lo and behold, there's this huge thing going on. And I got the astrological thing from Squirrel. And it said here, let me see, I'm going to read this little section. It's just a wee section. It says, it's a reorientation time to what really matters. The sun conjunct the world axis, the supergalactic center, the north node of fate and TNO, Makemake, a shaman Saturn upholding our role as guardians of the planetary ecosystem. So here it is, the Virgo Libra cusp of a collective soul transformation. It happens at this time every year, but this year there is a distinct quality of difference of otherness. Today, it's a huge day in a week of intense planetary shifts. The sun is on the world axis, stirring up the political into the personal and vice versa. That's always a really big thing for me in my heart. What, political should be personal and personal should be political, but how do we work that out? So this is look outside. The Pope is making an historic visit to President Obama and talking about climate change. The EU, the European Union, allocated refugee quotas and help. VW, Volkswagen, became the first domino to fall, toppling the car industry and its response to climate change. Greece and the United Kingdom voted in socialist leaders. That's a whole lot. Then go back into the fact that Pope Francis was on, was talking to the Congress today, and Elizabeth Warren is really, she's just like the all-time, what would I call her, the fierce goddess of truth, saying we have to help each other, we have to help women, you can't just keep costing the country this much, we got to build in this country. She's got some great, great pieces that you want to listen to. So I'm not trying to preach, well, maybe I am preaching politics, but what I'm saying is something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear, but I'm thinking that what it is a waking up, and it's a waking up in our countries, in our political fields, in our worlds, on so many levels. It's not about left-wing, right-wing, socialist, capitalist, not like that. It's about you and I and real life and our planet and the planet's healing. And we keep hearing, my gosh, it's going to happen. Even Edgar Cayce said right around now, what would be happening is a huge, huge shift in which many, many, many would wake up. Maybe that's what's happening. My name's Veronica Entwistle, and I can't promise you that that shift is what's happening, running up through the hearts and souls, and sometimes the cold hearts and souls, or the ambitious hearts and souls of people in charge. I can't tell you that that's happening, but you know, and I know that that is going to happen, and maybe what's happening right now with the catalyzing force of, for example, Pope Francis coming to this country, maybe it's actually going to happen. So let's all vote for that. How waking up are you? One of the things that I'm finding in, I keep thinking it's like a parabola. You know what a parabola is? It's a shape that looks like it's going to go into a circle or an oval, but it just kind of goes part way. So it's a line that goes up and then arches down. It's kind of like an upside down U, right? But it's so many things in life I've seen lately. Old situations that have left you wounded, for example. A lot of my clients, I have some wonderful, wonderful clients, have gone through these huge changes lately, where what happens is, instead of it just keep going worse and worse, and the gap and the pain between people, it just stays awful, and you think you're going to die that way eventually. It doesn't go that way. All of a sudden, there's kind of an arc, and then it comes back down, and it's really healing, and things sort of complete themselves. I had a story. This is a personal story. This kind of did its parabola a couple of years ago. I've often mentioned my first husband died. I was quite young then, and it really, the whole thing made me kind of crazy. And then I had to kind of come out as a psychic at the end of it all, because the tumultuous emotional breakdown was very, very huge for me. And then I changed everything. It's like one of those fall on your face things, and you have to reconstruct yourself, or you have to allow yourself and your higher self to reconstruct who you are. Am I right? Anyway, when he died, he did a lot of betrayal stuff and a lot of craziness, because he was young and vital and very revolutionary. He didn't want to die, and he went running around with women, and it was a big mess. And he was working at a union. And when he died, he was very, very difficult for me to handle. He was kind of crazy, moving in and out of the house, running around with women, getting sicker and sicker. And oh my goodness, it's hard to go through those details without feeling like I want to just lie on the floor. But in any case, I went up, I was living up in Bellingham a couple of years ago and went over the border to Vancouver to do a healing, one of those body, mind, and soul events. And this was 35 years after my husband had died, right? And I had gone a little bit nutty for a while, or very nutty, I don't know which. Anyways, I'm sitting in this little booth some of the time doing readings, and these two women came in and said where they worked. I said, oh my goodness, my first husband worked there. The long and the short of it is, I had felt so left out and so betrayed after he died, because all the people that we knew, especially to do with his work or anything else, I didn't ever hear from any of them again. And that's kind of a, like a huge hole in you when your whole life is not only falling apart, but then you're seemingly abandoned or deserted by the people that used to be quite around in your world. Anyway, these two women came in for sessions and they said they worked at this union office. And I said, oh, my husband used to work there, my first husband. What's his name? And one of the women, for heaven's sakes, had literally inherited his office, all of his books. She just moved in when he died and took over. I don't mean in a gross way. I mean, it's just a big company and that's the way they did it. But that was 35 years earlier. And she said, oh, Veronica. She goes, oh, you're Ronnie. Because I was known in the old days as Ronnie. She said, oh, you have no idea how many of us sat and said, what happened to Ronnie? And everybody cared so much. I said, really? She said, oh, people were concerned about you, and they talked about how difficult the whole passage, his passage was, and how hard it was on you, and they hoped that you were doing well. And you know what happened? That's like a parabola, isn't it? I sat there, I had tears because it was like something that had been left, like with a hole in me, got filled. All of a sudden, people who cared, and I found this whole flurry in my mind's eye of people who had cared all along, and I had felt that there was no caring. That's just one small example of what kind of happens. And my guides were saying before I started this show, before Doug called to say, here we are, ready to do Paradigm or Radiance by Design. I was talking to the guides and they said that start the show, when you're doing the structures, we want you to work with forgiveness. Because one of the things that happens, you know, when you have this parabolic change, for example, the fields on the planet are changing. And we read some of the astrological things, and you can do all the research on that because I'm not really an astrologer. I just read snippets that seem to give me a dynamic appreciation for these moments. One of the things that happens is you want to get yourself out of pockets of ways of being, don't you? You don't want to be the same as you were before. But, you know, very often we have to do some really intense, concerted forgiveness exercises to be sure that we've released anybody that was involved in those days. Have you ever noticed that? Now, I'm looking around out there. We're going to do the structures or do some forgiveness stuff. Maybe some Ho'oponopono. That would be good, eh? But I see some of you. There's a couple of you just really perched in the edge of your seats as if you want to call. So I really hope you'll call in today. I love it when you call. It makes me alive, and it gives me a sense of real connection with you. Because one of the reasons I do Radiance by Design is to give you access to my beautiful, beautiful guides and angels and my heart. I got a pretty good heart for a lot of you guys, too. And also that your work of self-healing in reflection to what the guides say helps a lot of listeners as well, doesn't it? So I sure hope you're going to call in. But in the meantime, what we're going to do is we're going to do our structures. And we're going to do the structures together. And we're going to do, let me see what else we're going to do in the structures. Well, let's just do it as it comes up. I know that I need to talk to Carol, who's a woman that has called in quite a bit, and ease some of the pressures in her thinking. And I'm seeing several of you who are really on edge about something in your lives. Oh, more than several of you. Okay, all right then. We're just going to get to work here. Now remember, if you have a history like I did, I just gave you an example of how 35 years later, boing, there's an answer to the question, right? That requires forgiveness. I had to go through my little body mind and make sure that I wasn't still angry about things that had gone on then, that I wasn't still holding. Unfortunately, I don't think I am because I worked on that quite a bit. But in any case, you understand that if I was still angry, then I would be grateful for the completion of that story, but I would be still held in a vibrational level because of the anger or the lack of forgiveness in me. So let's all do some forgiveness. Most of us have family of origin forgiveness to do, eh? It can be your lineage, it can be your mom and dad, it can be siblings, it doesn't matter which one. But I think it's very smart to be doing forgiveness of parents and forgiveness of whatever went on in the family. I mean, really, it's not rocket science to know it's a very good idea to do forgiveness on those levels. I think the traffic's too loud, so I'm going to shut this door right now. I'm acting like you can see what I'm doing, right? All right, so let's call in. Let's take a couple of deep breaths first. Good. One more. Good. Now let's call in above your head about 2 miles, a golden ball. Do you see it there? I'm a Bhagavan who did the oneness blessings, talked about how there's this golden, golden kind of source of amazing energy way out in the new fields that are being downloaded. And that's the bringer of consciousness, the bringer of love. And they said that actually it's the that flows through human consciousness every thousands and thousands of years, but it's about to flow through again. So I've chosen to hear that I've chosen that's ideal. Okay. So we're going to look at the golden ball above us, but you can imagine it being way farther out and actually hitting a golden flowing section of the universes. A beautiful download of consciousness and love, a beautiful hit of consciousness for not only you and I, but for all of our species and for Mother Earth. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And from the upper golden ball, right down through your spine, vertebrae by vertebrae by vertebrae, all the way through your spine into the lower golden ball. Good. So now you're skewered. You're on a beautiful golden filament of light. And now drop from the upper golden ball, a three-sided pyramid, and it's also gold. It's about waist height. And then upside down, another three-sided gold pyramid. Its golden point sticks into the lower golden ball. So when you push the two together, you have a diamond, big diamond shape, and it's golden. And and push out its walls so you have room to play. And inside of that, you've got a beautiful, beautiful crystal ball. Oh my goodness, it's beautiful. It's shimmering, shimmering, shimmering. And it nudges up against the inside edges of your diamond. Okay, so you have a big diamond shape. And then you have this crystal ball inside of that. And inside of that, there's a star, a beautiful three-dimensional Star of David, and you're inside of that. And now I want to see this star spinning and spinning and spinning. And as you spin and spin and spin and spin in this star, you see the star itself is spinning. You can see it as your Merkaba, as your light body, as your vehicle for changing dimensions. Yeah. Spin, and the more you spin it, the better it is to steer, right? And as you spin and spin, I want you to see in front of you some magical screens. And on that magical screen, we're going to place some movies. The first movie is you. about becoming who you really want to become. I want to become, let's see, who do I really want to become? I want to become, oh, thank you. I see we have a caller, so if you'll just wait a few minutes and then I'll take your call. Thank you. All right, so what was I saying? Oh, I want to be consciously multidimensional. I want to be able to go to any dimension and be able to relate from that perspective. And when you go from 3 to 5, for example, things have a totally different value structure, don't they? Yeah. So it's a very interesting thing to imagine being able to speak or activate your awareness in any dimension. It's like being a multicultural, being able to talk many languages, isn't it? Or being able to think many languages and many concepts. So when I see myself becoming consciously multidimensional, I wrap that in light and move it over to the side. And now the second film that we're creating here is you or me creating a project we really want to create. Okay. I'll just talk about my new book here. It's all about me tonight, I guess. But anyway, I see my new book called My Near Life Experience. It's coming out and you'll be able to get it within a month. I know that. We're getting the review copies out now. And I see it there, and I see all the resources coming to build its circulation, all the resources coming to get it to all the different places, all the resources coming to be able to get me to do book signings and some healing work with it and so on and so forth. And all of that set up, woo! Then I see it sitting in the marketplace and really enjoying a lot of recognition. All kinds of people are enjoying it. And I see all the resources coming, the people, the places, the opportunities, the markets, the feedback, all of that carrying on until it's natural flow. Okay. And now we're going to wrap that in light. You don't have to do my book. I hope you did your own project and move it over to the side. And now we're going into the Galactic Healing Center. Now you're going to choose from your wonderful guides and angels. You're going to choose your own special healing team and have them stand around in a circle right around your healing table. This is the first healing table. And on this table, you go. Each of you jumps on the table. I say jump. You don't have to jump. You can sort of slide. You can be very elegant about how you get on. I'm kind of an old playful person. Just jump on it. And surrounded by this healing team, you can look up at them and see who they are. And they'll tell you what it is you want to be working on. Or you can ask them what you can work on. How would you like to have them work on you? Some of you already know what help you need. Some of you can ask them. And if you ask them, pay attention. You might even want to take a minute and jot that down. Yeah, they always give me a little advice, a little bit of a lecture. Thank you very much. One of the things about the healing guides, you notice that you feel so loved. Can you feel that? And then let's wrap that in light. And move it over to the side. And now let's do the second healing table. Remember, the team replicates themselves. So put those healing beings around the second table. Now, I mentioned Carol earlier. She's got an anxiety in her brain. And one of the things that I'll paraphrase is that she said, if I get negative, I think it's like this. If I get negative, then there's no way out for me. Okay. And first of all, I don't believe that. But second of all, a lot of us get those feelings. If this happens, then that will happen. So I want you to jump on the table or bring somebody in on the table. Let me see who I've got here. I've got like 5 or 6 people ready to be on a table here. And every one of you has got this some sort of fear that if I don't get beyond this, then this will happen. If I don't get beyond this, then this will happen. Each one of you on the table, let me see, I see 4 women and 2 men. And this is the 7th one just came in. Okay. And it's another man. Okay. and then just have them all on that table. And you and I know this. It doesn't have to be that way. Let's ask the healing team to work on each of these beings. And each table there has its own healing team. Yeah. Have them work. Good. Have them work on this belief process. It's only a belief. If you move dimensions, a lot of the beliefs that you have, for example, in the three dimension don't exist in the fifth dimension. Or gosh knows what happens in sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, up to the, I think, 24th or something. We don't have to do that intellectualizing of it. We just know, change the energy, change the reality. So what we're saying is each one of you has got some kind of stuck belief. And in each case, the healing teams are moving things in two places, one in your body and one in your mind, because none of that is true. If you change the dimensions in which you exist, you will change that stuck part of your belief structure. Good. I can just feel it buzzing. Can you? All right, now let's wrap each one of those in light. I say all seven of them, wrap them one at a time and move them over to the left so that they get to keep healing, even though they're over on the side here. Good. And the healing teams go with them because, remember, they're magical, so they can replicate themselves. It's like you have a whole team of Santa Clauses, isn't it? Okay, so now we're going to bring in another healing table. And this one is going to be couple. Ooh, there's three couples. Okay. The couples. All right. Yep. And then the healing teams are going to go around each couple. So I've got three healing teams. Okay. And the reason for that is because what we want to do is find that the, just a second here. Okay. So I'm just getting correction from the guidance. Okay. So it looks like we'll have a healing team around each person instead of around each couple. Okay. Because all of these couples are in a state of distress somehow. And mostly they're not getting along or they're separating. And it's because of, and I bet you already knew what I was going to say here. Do you? Because it's because the reasons that you had to separate or the reasons that you're living in contention are because of deep inner processes of your own. Meaning, I see this couple over here, and she's trying very hard to grow, but she has a lot of deep wounding from her early childhood, from her family of origin, right? And then he's got wounding from his family of origin. And between the two of them, when they were together, they had many of their family members in and out and around their business and so on. So that when they finally got to be a nose-to-nose challenge, there was no room deep down inside to presence the self. You understand? The self is not the defensive character. The self is not the neurotic character. The self is not the paranoid character. Those are all cover-ups, aren't they? Those are all emotional reactions that the self has learned to use to probably keep away all kinds of people, right? And to keep away anybody who's going to maybe hurt her or hurt him. So between them, they have all of these pieces of, if you want to look at them as like flailing energies sticking out from each of them, and until those get resolved, they can't rethink their interaction with one another. Do you understand that? Now, all three of our couples have some version of this. One of the couples is a lot older, and the reason they have so many difficulties right now is because the older, as the years piled up, the fears piled up, and they became less and less powerful. So it's kind of like what early childhood does to people, only the other way around, meaning the fellow has had some losses, big losses and so on, and he hasn't processed them in such a way as to allow himself to be new with his woman. So she's feeling daunted by his cynicism, and he's feeling stuck because she's not helping him out of it, you know, because they've been in relationship for a long time. And instead, he's got a lot of thyroid issues and a lot of stomach and chest issues. And she's got a thyroid as well, and she keeps getting headaches. It's a mess. So when they try to get together, they have all this sort of somatic stuff. And that's pretty interesting to me. And so what we're going to do is get the healing. Oh, there's one more we want to talk about before the healing teams are going to go in there with like laser-like. It's like there's huge fire hoses of light that they're going to swish round and round these people. And they're going to swish violet flames round and round and round these people. The other two are just really stubborn. And both of them have their feet planted. They're kind of the middle-aged ones. They've got their feet planted. And there's such a resentment of one another because of some stupid stuff that went on. I mean, it's really, have you ever experienced yourself doing that? We get really stubborn and you get really stiff about something. And I feel like one of them went off and had some kind of ridiculous sexual fling just because, if you look at it a different way, if you looked at it energetically, you'd say it's because she couldn't bear the way the energy was stuck. So she did something to change the energy, right? Change the energy, change the reality. So here are these two really stubborn people. And now she's looking and her lips are quivering because she's really hurt because he's still stuck like that. But she's already gone off and been, in quotes, naughty. So it's like they're a win-win in terms of who gets even with who. But, you know, let's go back into forgiveness. You can never get even. You can only recognize the vulnerability in someone and forgive them. You really can't get even because there is no such thing. You understand what I mean? Okay, so all the teams, all three teams, da-da-da-da-da-da, get in your place. I'm going to hit the bong. Bong! Okay, so I'd like you to do some. The healing teams are going to show us what to do. They're doing a lot of cleansing and clearing. They're doing a lot of work with the brain. They have their hands on like a oneness blessing hands. That's it. Good. And then they're going to do a violet flame, running the violet flame through each of the members of the couples and around them, through them, and around them, and around, and around, and around. And around, and do it again. Run up through them and around them, around and around and around. So what radiates back and forth is violet flame, not resistance. Violet flame, not rage and anger and childhood pains that are left behind. And what was the other one? Oh, bitterness from getting older. So what they radiate round and round them is violet flame. And then that takes care of the bitterness that he's been radiating or she's been radiating and the frustrating things. Okay. So the guides are showing this immediately that. And the violet flame can clear both of their thyroids if they worked on it. But especially the woman of the group that's older, the woman, the violet flame can do an awful lot for her thyroid and her headaches. Wow. So you just want to build the violet flame. All of you, use it. Build the violet flame. Run it up through the soles of your feet. Run it up through your legs. Run it up through your belly. Cycle it round and round in the belly, which houses karma and everybody else's influence. And then the violet flame right up through your whole body. Swing it wildly around your head. Stick it out to the great central sun. And now, even though we're not finished with the structures, we're still in the structures, I'm going to let our caller talk if you haven't given up and fallen asleep in the background. Caller.
Are you there?
I am here. That was lovely, Veronica. Thank you.
Oh,
you actually answered my question. I was going to ask you when your book was coming out, so we have about a whole month. Are you kidding? I want
well,
it now.
It's coming. Thank you for
that. I have been waiting and waiting and waiting, but I just know that the waiting is going to pay off and it's going to be lovely and fun.
Well, you know what? The reviews,
am I right?
Yes, it is. And the reviews are coming out over the next week. And so it might even be less than a month. Might be like 2 or 3 weeks. I don't know.
That'll be great. And we can just like pop onto your website. Or are you going to have something new?
Yes, and I have to have a new website. My book is called My Near Life Experience. And the website has to be brand new. So look for mynearlifeexperience.com. We can spell .com,
awesome.
C-A-L-M. What do you think?
Yeah, there you go. Well, I actually thank you for that, for the structures. I always find that very healing and beneficial when I tune in. So thank you for that. I do have a quick question.
Sure.
I've been struggling with my business a bit, and I'm really trying to pull myself out of this rabbit hole that I've seemed to fallen down. Do you have any suggestions on how? I know you've said in the past about raising vibration, and as you were saying earlier, I forget how you say it. Change the energy. How do you say that?
Change the energy. Change the reality.
The reality, right? So, but I'm even struggling with that. Changing that, you know, it's like this battle. I feel like I'm in the ring, you know, with my gloves.
Okay, so let me tell you something. Tell you something, darling. Here's the thing, and this is for everybody at home. If your business is kind of weak right now, and if you go through a huge emotional, you know, one of those, like, you get into depression, you have some losses, you have relationship stuff, you have financial stuff, whatever. Your business will often drop simultaneously because, why? Because your frequency is down. And when I look at yours, Miss Caller, I see that your belly area, which houses subconscious, everybody else's influence, remember? So we're standing in the back of our own womb saying, who am I in the middle of all this? Your belly area is slow right now. It's the vibrations are moving around in a nice spiraling circle, but they're slow, which means what you emanate or what you radiate will be a little slower. Whereas if you're thinking about encouraging business, you want to be a little bit enthusiastic, right? You want to be encouraging it.
Right.
And your vibrations, when you say...
I think I'd remember this.
Well, you know, this is...
it's only because you've said this to me before, and I always forget that I have that power to amp up, and then things kind of fall into place. And that's what I mean about the putting the gloves on. I always feel like I'm battling with myself.
You know what's a funny image? How many of you know what's it called? The people that beat the drum on the corner, what is it called? They save people. Oh, Lord, I can't remember their name now. But anyway, they beat the drums on the corner. Oh, come on. Salvation Army. You know the Salvation Army?
Oh, right. Salvation Army,
Yeah, in the old days anyway, or maybe they still do, I don't know, but they would bang tambourines and they would ring bells and so on and so forth. If you think about it that way, right? I don't know why that image just hit me. It's like, imagine your belly and it's one of those drums and you want to beat it or you want to ring a bell in there because it raises the energy. Change the energy, change the reality. And that's what they do. Yeah, they used to do that to lift people and get people's attention, right? You have a little gimmick or a game with yourself to do that. Because you're naturally very gifted and you have the ability to do two businesses in a rather large and mighty way. You just have to keep perking yourself up so that you can keep, not planing, because planing assumes you're just running along the top, and we don't want you to avoid your feelings at all costs. But it's a matter of like shooting back up when you go down, shooting back up. You have to get that consciousness going, because you got two businesses going in a little while, and you're going to be very happy about that.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I needed to hear that, because I've discussed that with you, the secondary business I'm looking at, and I'm very excited about it, so I needed that encouragement.
Yeah, and it's two of them.
I need to go buy a drum, is what you're saying, right?
At least to have one in your mind, right?
Yeah, right.
I think it's been
right,
a good call.
So I just need to amp it up.
Yeah, you do. You need to.
That's what you're saying, right?
You know what else would be good for you and for a lot of you at home? Be funny about it. Like, look, I'm really down in the dumps. I better beat the drum. I better beat the, you know, something like that. Make yourself laugh. Go, oh, my God, I have to beat that darn old drum again, you know? You can do that. You can be a lot of fun. You have a lot on your plate, and that's okay. The plate's full, but you can still laugh.
Well, I do. It's sometimes I feel silly when I'm laughing by myself at something, but you know, nobody's around to see me do it, so I guess.
Well, you know what?
So
I might be
what
a character,
you're saying is I need to amp up my energy.
Yeah, I might be a character, but I laugh really hard at myself. Sometimes when I'm just really miserable and so on, there's a part of me inside that's just laughing like mad, going, "Oh, look at you! Aren't you a character?" Right? It's okay. It's okay to
movie.
Be that way. Right?
Yeah, no, it is. It is. I'm walking through this, as you know, and my steps, I think, are graduating from the baby steps to larger strides.
Not pole vaulting
yet? Pole vaulting, yes. I don't know. I think I'm getting too old for pole vaulting, but hey, why not? So amping up my energy, just because I'm always in my head, and I overanalyze and I pick it apart. I'm like my own surgeon, and I dissect all aspects of my life. And as I look at all the pieces around me, I'm thinking, well, how can I reconstruct all of this? And that's where I'm stuck, is putting the pieces of that puzzle back together that make sense. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, except that, you know, we were talking about living in different dimensions, and this isn't quite that, except that when you're talking about living in your head, and then I'm seeing the belly being absolutely patterned. Remember that the belly is where most of your neurotransmissions start out before they go up to your head, for starters.
Right.
And so when you're up in your head, I'm saying, get into your belly, please. Make it simple. Again, you can laugh. Oh, I got to figure it out. No, I need to get into my belly. And that'll start making you laugh right there. And I can feel the buzzing that happens when you do that. Because if you can change the programming that's in your belly, you can change how you analyze things in your head as well. I promise you. Isn't that interesting?
Put it together. Right.
Yeah.
Well, when you look at my belly now, you were saying that it feels a little sluggish, and I've been working on that. I mean, you've taught me hugely about this, about really looking at, you know, if I'm having an emotion, an upset or whatever, I look at my belly now and go, okay, where is that coming from?
Okay.
And so when you look at it now, I mean, comparison, you know, in comparison to the way it used to be, do you see that there's improvement?
Yeah, what I see is it moves faster than it used to. It moves a lot faster than it used to. And I'll have to say goodbye so I can finish the structures, but you are coming along, my friend. And you're also going to make it much easier.
Thank you.
And this is for people at home, too. Make it easier for yourself just by practicing a lot. Shift that energy around and find yourself much more liberated. If you're in your head, get down to your belly. If you're in your belly too much, well, you might want to run up to the head periodically. But mostly I think the belly's got to be worked out, right?
No, I totally agree with that. And I'm going to be the first in line for your book. I can't wait.
Oh, good.
You'll send an email, I hope. And, yeah, I'm excited. Veronica, thank you so much. Many blessings to you tonight.
You too. Thanks for your support. All right, so this is now we're in the structures. We're in the Galactic Healing Center. And let me see now. What we want to do is bring in a political, political one, remember? We've already been talking about how the Pope has been there speaking at Congress and how Elizabeth Warren's been yelling about how the Republicans are again costing billions of dollars. Just they want to stop. They want to freeze the government for a while. Just do a filibuster again. She's just so vociferous. She is so amazingly articulate. And that there's all these other things going on in Europe. The European Union has figured out how to share the refugees and the support of them. Oh my gosh, that is so amazing. And apparently Russian planes, Russia is a big marauder for Syria. And apparently the Russian planes were averted. They tried to send in a whole bunch of Russian planes, which would give the Russians a lot more power in Syria, which is not going to work too well. So somewhere along the way, they got waylaid. And that is really good news as well, because this all this refugee stuff, Syria, all of that is a global problem. It's not just one country or another. It's quite a fascinating problem. The whole thing about greed and sharing and all that. I think it was Bob telling me that was on Colbert again last night was this fellow who is a futurist and he won some awards. Some of you already heard this story, but he won some awards for being an amazing futurist. And I don't think I have the dates right, but I think he said that the goal is to eradicate any hunger in the world by 2030. And that sounds pretty darn good to me. Does it to you? The other thing he said that was pretty interesting is that I think it was 15 or 20 years ago, but I could have those numbers wrong. But he said that 43% or 46% of the world was hungry. Way back, and now I think it's 20-something percent. So it's improving, even though a lot of us don't think anything's changing. Things are changing, ladies and gentlemen, and we're really excited about that. We needed to hear that. And you're changing it, and I'm changing it. And we talk about the belly, and when you get in there and you look at your belly, that's where we house. Our whole bodies house programs, trust me. But the belly houses the karmic stuff. The base of your spine is a lineage, you know, what you brought in from your from your family's lineage. I'm just sort of laughing because I used to be a Cameron. I was raised as a Cameron. And apparently we were a bloody. They called us the bloody Helanders. I guess we were war people. But anyway, that's lineage stuff. That's not soul stuff necessarily. It can be both, but you see what I mean? There's also your soul, things that come through. And if you look at your base of your spine, it's got all of that kind of rooted, what it is you're bringing into this life and what it is that is driving you to kind of get somewhere with it. The belly area is loaded with everybody else's influence. You're standing in the back of your own womb saying, who am I in the middle of all this? And who are you? You're going to give birth to your real self. So when we're talking about world peace, I'll go back to my women's group. We're talking about world peace, or we're talking about global evolution. It really is incumbent upon every single one of us to go into that belly and really move some of our own stock programs. And some of those programs are about, for example, you got a massive number of refugees, or you're walking by a group of homeless people, you got to go for your own fears. What am I afraid of? What would I be afraid of if I reached out and helped? Everybody's got them. I saw that movie, Black or White, the other day. And he's got a line, Kevin Costner, who's the white grandfather, and he has a black grandchild, or an African American grandchild. She's just beautiful, sweet thing. And the two of them are together. And at some point, he's having a terrible argument with the little girl's father, natural father, and the father's accusing him of being racist. And he says something that really made me think. It was very, very honest. And he finally said to him, "Yeah, I have to admit," he said, "when I first look at you or anybody like you, first thing I see is their skin color." And then he waited a minute, and then he goes, "And then if I see a beautiful woman, the first thing I look at is her breasts. But beyond that, you know," and I mean, just when you start imagining what's beyond that, it was a very good line, because it really made me think a lot about how much racism that is hidden amongst us all these days, and that's been an issue that's been coming up in the news a whole lot. And it is true, we look at each other and we assess our differences, don't we? And we might have fears, we might have prejudices, but one of the things about learning to get along on the planet is bringing those feelings up, being absolutely honest about them, looking at them, because most of you that I know anyway, well, pretty much everybody I'm looking at watching this show doesn't really intend to be prejudiced, actually. But we have attentions we place on different aspects of human life. So if somebody is called a refugee, or they're called a migrant, or they're called an immigrant, there's a whole bunch of different interpretations of those three words, isn't there? So you might have more fear of one than another. You might put one on a lower rung of the ladder than another. You see what I mean? But what we're saying is, if we're going to develop a sense of equality, if we're going to learn to love and care for one another, if the feminine is truly rising on the planet, and that nurturing becomes one of the greatest powers we're going to have, we have to pay attention. This dog doesn't like it. Can you hear him? We have to pay attention to the kinds of things we're afraid of. We have to pay attention to our knee-jerk response to differences so that we can move through them. Most of the people I know do pay attention to those things, maybe even talk about them and move on through them, because we're more interested in being with the greater good. But that doesn't mean you don't admit what's going on with you. And so one more final thing before we end this show is, forgiveness is something we already talked about in this show, and it's a real key to elevating ourselves above the dog eat dog. It's above the competitive nature, above the greed, above the if I have, you don't. It really takes a lot of forgiveness, because if I'm really defensive because you haven't been very nice to me, and then I keep all the gold in my own purse or, you know, whatever, if I forgive you, I find it much easier to share. Do you understand that? I find it much easier to recognize the value of who you are and the value of who I am. It's really interesting to be a human being. My book is called My Near Life Experience, and it's just my story, really. But it's why I think it's kind of interesting is because, just like a lot of you, I had that really deep thing inside of me that knew it could be different than it was. And in essence, I had some pretty amazing adventures in my life before I could really calculate seeing spirits and talking to spirits and becoming a psychic. I really had quite a few diversions or ways that I took life on. But it's interesting, because the pieces of truth that you are and I am are right there all along. Sometimes it takes quite a bit of excavation, or quite a bit of loss, or quite a bit of, I talked about the parabola, quite a bit of sudden changes in life for you to get really into that place where you are you, and you've got your gifts, and you're ready to contribute to life on this earth the way only you can do, because you're the only one in the universe that's you. So I'm eager to share my book with you when it comes out, My Near Life Experience. And this is Veronica Entwistle. I'd love it if you said hello to me on www.veronicaentwistle.com. Let me know what kind of guests you would like to hear on Paradigm Shifters, if you'd like a session with me, or if you just want to say hello. There's an Ask Veronica button. Hit that button and write what you want. This is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for being out there and for joining us on Radiance by Design. And do this. Watch for amazing things that are happening on the planet in and amongst the weeds and rubble. Good night, everybody. Much love.